Okay, here we are. The Riverside Road Church. We're at the end of another year. And actually, like Christian reminded us last week, we're at the end of another decade. And then I thought of a couple more. We're really, in a roundabout way, we're at the end of a generation. And then one other one, this congregation, we're at the end of a century. Now, it's not the calendar century, but did you realize that our congregation will be 100 years old in 2023? In January the 23rd, I think that may not be right on that day, but in 1923, the congregation was set in order by an evangelist from California, and I can't remember his name now for sure. So this church is just about at the end of a century. So this all suggests that we need to plan not only for the next year, but for the next decade, for the next generation, and for the next century. And I think there are three of us here who are members now that can look back over the past six decades of this church family, and we can see many, many changes. Some good, and there were a few that were not so good. But today, and that's what Bob told us, don't be looking back. We need to look at today and ahead. So today is time for us to look ahead. Did you realize that by this time in 2029, our young people today will be in and or out of college, some already starting their careers, and possibly a few even starting families of their own in 10 years from today. And by 2029, your present elders will be in their 80s and 90s. That is, if the Lord wills that we even live that long. You know, I'm finding out that what it's like to live in one's eighth decade. Because in a week and a half, I'll be 81 in my 81st year, starting my 81st year. And during my 80th year, I've been experiencing several changes in my health and my abilities. And you know, every day I'm reminded of the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, where he said, "I have no delight in the closing years of life." That is, the loss of the pleasures of youth and the prime of life. And he called this period difficult days. And I think he did because, and he mentions these things, because of the loss of strength, eyesight, hearing. And even during this period of time, walking becomes more difficult. We stumble and fall often. Eating is diminished. And anxieties begin to affect one's judgment. But you know, looking back over the eight decades of my life, I'm so very thankful to my parents for instilling within me a faith. A faith that has brought me to the conclusion of the whole matter. That is, my whole duty is fearing God and keeping His commandments. That's what it's all about. And in these last days, which are increasingly anti-Christian, a lot of antagonism, yeah, I think it's very important for us to have strong faith in God, because He is our sun and shield. You know, I've served the Riverside Road congregation for about 39 years, as an evangelist to begin with, and then as an elder. And I was privileged to serve a few years with one of the very first elders of this 97-year-old congregation. Now, you have to realize, this congregation didn't have any elders until around 1950. So they had evangelists that were helping them during that period of time. But you say, what are you leading up to? Well, I'm still looking forward to serving a few more years. That is, if the Lord wills, we never know. And doing that as a mentor and an encourager of younger officers. These younger officers can complement the offices of elder and deacon with their youthful vigor and intellect and steadfastness for the Master's cause. So therefore, Bob and I agreed there is a need for this congregation to proceed with a plan of action in 2020 for appointing leaders from among our flock. And that's for the responsibilities and the duties of the eldership and the deaconship. That so they will be able to help leading our congregation into the next decade, the next generation, the next century. So let me just say a few words about this process, the process of selecting qualified officers for the church. Well, actually, the Bible gives us, and that's where we get our examples from, the Bible gives us several examples and instructions for selecting and appointing qualified officers in the church. And I think probably the very first example, it was in the early church when the church was mainly just right at Jerusalem. And they were led by the apostles who were in charge of setting up the government that would lead the congregational assembly of saints throughout the kingdom of God as long as it lasted here upon this earth. And one thing that we noticed in that encounter in the early church, we noticed that the apostles, when they decided there needed to be deacons, the apostles did not select the men who to be considered as deacons in the church at Jerusalem. But they gathered the church together and they presented to them a plan of action for appointing officers. So the very first thing that happened, the congregation as a whole was to select men from among their midst who, in their opinion, would be qualified according to the qualifications that were divinely given by the apostles. Now we have to remember at this point in time of the church, the very early years of the church, the only divinely given qualifications at that time, there were three of them. Number one, the men had to be of good report. Number two, they had to be full of the Spirit. And number three, they had to be men of wisdom. That was the qualifications that the apostles had set forth for the selection process. Then, secondly, the disciples, all the members of the church at Jerusalem that were gathered together, they were to present these men that they felt like were qualified for this office. They were to present these men to the apostles for their approval and appointment by the laying on of their hands. Now, in this early example, I think the lessons for us today is that the setting elders or the current elders like Bob and I are not to choose and appoint men as elders and deacons. That's not our position. But we are to present the apostolic plan of action to the whole congregation for this process. And so, going back to the early church and the history and that we get from that, as the early church began to mature and to grow, and it grew into more and more local congregations scattered over that region and in that area and going out even further, we find that the church at Antioch, in the 13th chapter of Acts, they sent out the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, whom I believe probably was an evangelist, according to Galatians 2, verse 9. And they sent them out to establish new congregations and to appoint elders. It doesn't mention deacons, but I'm assuming they were to appoint deacons also in each of these local congregations that they set up. And then later, as the church would begin reaching its full maturity, then the apostles started turning over the governing of the churches to these qualified elders and deacons, and evangelists. And then we're given the Apostle Paul. We can read about him giving instructions to two evangelists, Timothy and Titus, regarding the final apostolic plan of action for the selection, the qualifications, and the appointment of elders and deacons. Now, in Titus 1 and verse 5, Titus the evangelist was instructed to go help the congregations on the little isle of Crete to set up a proper form of government, which included the appointment of elders and, I'm assuming, deacons also. And then finally, as far as scriptural divine instruction that we have, near the end of the Apostle Peter's life, he left some very good instructions on the duties of elders as shepherds of God's flock. And we find that in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Now, as far as the plans that we're talking about for 2020, of searching out and seeing if we have more people who are qualified, I want to say first that we are Bob and I, as elders, are very appreciative of the deacons, the officers in the as deacons. They have been operating very efficiently, and it certainly has taken a big burden off of us, and that's kind of what it's supposed to do. And we really appreciate them. And so we go through this process not because we don't already have good deacons and good elders, but this needs to go on because we are moving on. Like I said, another generation. My generation, at the very best, you know, it can't be much more than 10 years. I guess it could be, but the way my faculties are going down, there's just things I cannot do that I used to do. My thinking is not as straight. Even in setting up the different things that Bob and I have talked about, there was numerous times that I would suggest something, and Bob would say, "Well, do you think that's really what we ought to do?" And I would have to agree with him. No, that's probably not the thing we should do. You know, so that's kind of the way it goes. So in this, the plan of action that we have for this in 2020, we have arranged to have Brother Lewis Garby to serve as an impartial evangelist to lead our congregation in this process of selecting and appointing any male members who qualify as elders and or deacons. And in order to do this, we've set up with him, we've already set up with him, an evangelist schedule as follows. And, you know, it's really important to do that. We almost wondered if we waited too late, but we were able to talk with Lewis, and he had time. He had some time slots that he could come and work with us. So we have scheduled him from June the 14th, which is a Sunday, June the 14th through Wednesday the 17th. That's in 2020. And on that first Sunday, Brother Lewis will be speaking about and concerning the value of the leadership selection process. And that'll be Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Now, this is not a... all the details haven't been completely worked out. And once we turn this over to Lewis Garby, he will be filling in more details and giving us more complete schedules of when he's going, what he's going to do, and when he's going to do these things. But then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evening classes then will be on the qualifications of elders and deacons. Then the next time he will be back will be September the 20th, which is a Sunday, through the 23rd. And this time it will be for him to actually go into that selection and individual visitation process. He'll be here Sunday through Wednesday, and that doesn't mean that there'll be services on every night. This will be whatever Lewis decides to do during that period of time. in his process. And he'll line this all out in June when he comes and he talks with us. Then as far as any other dates, we'll have to wait and see what he needs, whether there'll be follow-ups. Maybe the appointment process can't be done during September, and he would need to come back at a different time for the appointment process to take place. So basically, like I say, this is just a very general idea of kind of what we've got planned. And I think we felt very fortunate to be able to get Brother Lewis to be able to come and to work with our congregation on this fairly short notice for evangelists, because they are busy and it's hard to find any openings with them. So is there any... Now Bob's going to follow, and he's going to be talking about the home Bible studies and also about the VBS and maybe some development work for our young people. But before I sit down, is there any questions or thoughts or comments? Hearing none, Bob?
I thank Dwayne for that good introduction. I worked on this part of it, and he worked on that part, and after I read what he had down, I said, hey, you need to go first. So it was a very good introduction, and so as he said, I'm going to talk about two things, and the first thing I want to talk about is our home Bible study. Now, this year, 2019, we launched this home Bible study, and we divided up into three groups. And this study was designed to be a substitute for one of our traditional Sunday evening studies that we have every Sunday night. Now, we've kind of had a survey of people. We've had people talk to us. Some among us liked this new arrangement, and some did not. I think out of all the different thoughts and ideas that we had, our biggest problem we faced was with some groups were too big for our concept. Now, you might say, well, what do you mean, our concept? Well, the concept was we wanted to have some edification of the flock in a more effective way, and then we also wanted to have fellowship in a less formal setting. But because the way we had our groups divided, we had one group that was almost twice the size of any of the other groups. That may not be exactly accurate, but it was lopsided. Okay, so that kind of presented a problem with what we were wanting to do. So Dwayne and I put our heads together and we said we got to come up with something different. So this is what we come up with for 2020. We have revamped the program to help. Try to help meet the concept. So we've divided the study groups into four categories. And you're thinking, oh, I don't know how that's going to work. Well, it'll either work or it won't work. The idea is we're going to try it, and we're going to do it once a quarter, and we've picked the dates for that, and I'll give you that pretty soon. But anyway, we divided into these four groups. And we have I don't know if you can see it. Some of you up close might see it, but this is there's a program that Dwayne's ran out for us. Looks like this. I should have put it up on the overhead projector, but it's on the bulletin board, so you can see it. It's called Home Bible Study Schedule 2020. But we have four groups. We have the older group, older adults, and the number of, as we count these up in our group, there's going to be somewhere around 14 plus in that group. Then we have group number two is ages 1 through 6 years old. 1 through 6, and counting up our children that we have in that age group, there's going to be 11 plus, a few there. When I say plus, there's going to be parent or parents that will be with them So we know there'll be at least 11 children if they all show up, and then, of course, the parent or parents that come with them. Then in group 3, ages 7 through 12, there's 12 children in that, and then plus the parents or parent or parents that go with them. And then group 4, we have ages 13 to, we just said 13 to 25. There will be 10 in that group, plus the coordinator that works with them. Now, we decided to do this once a quarter, March the 1st, June the 7th, September 6th, and December 6th. Now, for each date, for each one of these segments, each age group, there will be a study coordinator and a food coordinator. And those have been assigned. We've got them on our program. So you know when you're up to do this. Each study coordinator and food coordinator are in charge of determining what to study spiritually, what you're going to study, and what the menu of the day will be and where you will meet to have your group come together. Now, we encourage you, each study group, to use the assigned dates given, but if another date is more accommodating for that particular group, for that quarter session, then feel free to move that if you have to. And that happened in a couple of our groups in the year of 2019, and I think that worked out fine. But we would encourage you to try to use a Sunday for that if you could. But it's not, you know, you don't have to if you can make it work better at another day. Now, the question is, will there be some issues trying to get your children who are assigned to different study groups? Some of you are thinking, oh, wait a minute, I've got a kid that's going to be in group number 2, and then I've got a kid that's going to be in group number 3. So how are we going to work that out? Well, yes, that is a problem, isn't it? And the only solution that we could see to that is hopefully one parent might be able to go with one of their children or two or however many is in a group, and another parent could go with the other group. So, will some parents split up to accommodate this issue? Okay, that's the question. That'll be up for you to decide. We think this may help solve this problem of having too many in one group. So anyway, that's our efforts. We'll try it 4 times. And then, after 2020 is completed, we'll reassess the program and determine if it's worthwhile to continue. So let me pause there and ask, is there any questions? Okay, the dates are March the 1st, June the 7th, September the 6th, and December the 6th. Those are all the last month of the quarter.
Let me start and just say this before anybody else.
Okay.
I talked to James today because they can't be here, you know, and he said with Sheila and him, it's going to be a problem. Especially when he's the coordinator for the lesson and she's the coordinator for the dinner, the food on that same day. So they couldn't divide up then.
They've looked at our chart, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they've looked at the chart. And
right, right.
They got it, there's a point there. And then
Travis
and Carrie are on the same way, and Rachel and and Brandon are the same way. So they've got that same problem. So that's going to have to be tweaked.
Okay.
And worked, and there's going to have
right.
to be some changes made.
Yeah. That's a good point. And we want you to understand that what we've got there is not, you know, set in concrete. It's an idea that we hope will work. We just got to figure out the details to make it work. And if it gets to the point where it's just not going to work, it's not going to work. And we may just go right back to what we always did. Okay? Anybody else want to add to that? Okay. I want to go talk about our VBS. As per suggestions from the congregation, and more specifically, I would say from our young adults, who have children and those who help teach at the VBS. We have come up with a plan. We solidified those plans for the VBS for 2020. The date we've already chosen, August the 2nd through the 5th. That's a Sunday evening through a Wednesday evening. The one area that we had some discussion about and difficulty, we think we solved that. We have chosen a coordinator for that. It's going to be Doug Twaddell. What about the subject matter? Well, the subject matter is to be determined in a weekend meeting that we're going to schedule with Doug on March the 14th and the 15th. So that's a Saturday and a Sunday. On Saturday, Doug will have a developmental class for our young people, our young men, for song leading, and for possibly being able to speak and teach. Okay, so that'll take place on Saturday the 14th. And then on the 15th, which is a Sunday, Doug will preach on Sunday morning. And then we'll have a basket dinner. And then Sunday afternoon, there will be a session to work out the details of our upcoming VBS. In other words, we'll be talking about, you may have some ideas as to what we want to study for the VBS. So we'll have an exchange of ideas. He'll have ideas, you'll have ideas, and we'll talk about the subject matter. We'll talk about the format. Will there be an adult class that we're going to have? We've had that in the past, and then for the last few years we haven't. So we'll discuss that. We'll discuss, you know, how we want to advertise it, and then we'll talk about the teachers that we want to utilize for this, and the format in which we do that. Does anybody have any questions about that? I think in the past, we've the VBS thing has kind of snuck up on us, and we have a lot of school teachers amongst our group, and at the end of the year they're extremely busy, and so it's gotten kind of presses us hard to try to get this thing organized. So I think by us starting with Doug, and the way we're going to do it, I think that's going to alleviate some of the problems that we've had in the last couple of years. Anybody have any questions about that? Anyone? Dwayne, you have any closing comments? Okay. Well, let's see. Ben, you want to. You're talking about of our...
Doug was going to work into that on first Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. I think I mentioned that on Saturday we'll have probably have some kind of training on leading songs, and then maybe also a segment on giving a lesson and that sort of thing.
What day was that?
Are you talking about on Doug?
Yeah. March 14th and 15th,
okay. Yes. That's a Saturday and a Sunday. Any other questions? Well, we thank you for your attention. And Dwayne and I want to especially thank Eric, who I think it was either a couple years ago, maybe, Eric talked to us about, you know, we need to be thinking about a vision, about planning ahead. And I don't know that Dwayne and I had done a good job of that. And through his encouragement, it has got us to thinking about this a lot more than we used to. And so we hope it's a benefit for the congregation to be looking ahead. That's just a smart thing to do, planning ahead. So we're going to close with a song, and just out of tradition, we end our service with a song. And during that song, if there's something that you need to bring before the congregation, maybe there's somebody here that wants to obey the gospel. If that's in your heart, let it be known while we sing the number Ben selected.